This is a lecture given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website, stdave.org.
I'm going to go ahead and get us started. So welcome to this third installment of our series on prayer. So I'm very honored to have a special guest with us today, Gay Bullard and Christy Michener, who are trained facilitators in the practice of centering prayer. And they're from the Heart of Texas Contemplative Outreach. And they'll say more about that organization and what they do, but you also have a brochure there on Contemplative Outreach. So they'll give them more detail on that as well. So Christy and Jay, and I'll let you all share your wisdom with us.
Thank you so much for having us here, Mona. So delightful to see all of you. Gay and I would like to begin with a prayer. So let's bow our heads and take a deep breath. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us here today. For all those who are present in the room and those who are present with us online, we are grateful. We are grateful for the time with you, for your presence in our lives, and we are grateful for this beautiful practice of centering prayer. We ask that you be with us. We ask that you be with us today as we serve you, and that each one who hears this presentation receives exactly what he or she needs for their journey. In your most precious name, we pray this. Amen. I'm Christy Michener. I'm one of the coordinators for the Heart of Texas Contemplative Outreach. And I have been practicing centering prayer for about 20 years. I was introduced to it at the beginning of the century, I say, and have had a daily practice almost since then. About 10 years ago, I was given an opportunity to become a teacher of the Introduction to Centering Prayer class. And I went through that process and became a commissioned presenter. And what I will tell you about centering prayer is that for me, it has really significantly changed my relationship to God. Before centering prayer, my relationship was very much like an acquaintanceship. And now over this last 20 years, I feel like God is very much more present in my daily life. And that has been a real blessing for me and probably for everyone I encounter, and especially my family. I have attended several retreats, and I will talk to you a little bit more about what the Heart of Texas offers for people who practice centering prayer. But that'll be part of my presentation. At this time, I'd like for Gay Bullard to introduce herself.
Well, good morning. Thank you all for inviting me here, Dr. Mona, especially, and for being here. I would say my experience is pretty much like Christy's. I began my practice of centering prayer in the 90s when it was still in its infancy. And I would just echo Christy in everything she said, that it has changed both my relationship to God and my life in general. So I appreciate your listening. Both of us are passionate about this subject and hope we can convey some of that to you today. So thank you.
So let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give you a very brief overview of centering prayer, the history of centering prayer, and a little bit of information about contemplative outreach. And then Gay is going to go over the method of centering prayer, or the practice of centering prayer, with you. And as time allows, we'll do a little practice together. And then we can talk about your questions and any experiences that you've had with centering prayer and try to answer as much as possible. Remembering that this is just a brief overview, and it probably will just give you a taste of that information. Before we begin, do any of you have a specific question that you brought with you today that you would like to have us address? No, well, good. Then we'll be able to answer all those questions. Okay. The first slide that I have for you has a video on it. So we're going to be playing that video. This is a very short video.
It's a very fast world right now.
There's just so much to keep up with. My head is full of thoughts. Mine is always busy. We need more and more thoughts to gather to electronic gadgets.
We have so much. Possibility of distraction.
It's hard to relax and rest.
He's already out there in religion. As a society, as a body of Christ, as a family, sit still, be quiet, listen to God. And this might be the temple of outreach to us.
There is further the movement into resting in God, near your silence, and surrender.
So, yes, I'm here, and then I just try not to say anything.
Every once in a very rare while, I might get a little something. That's not why I'm in it.
It is prayer, it is open, loving of God.
It's really just sitting quietly with your eyes closed, a sacred time that you spend with God. It's not really about you at all. It's about what God is doing within you.
You need silence. And I think this one big message is still.
Okay, so. The first thing I want to talk to you then about is, what are the origins of centering prayer? Centering prayer was formed in the 70s, but the practices are monastic practices that had been alive in the monasteries for many, many, many years, hundreds of years. In the 70s, three monks at St. Joseph's Abbey in Spencer, Massachusetts, decided that they wanted to come up with a way to bring this practice to lay people and clergy. Because if you remember in the 70s, a lot of people were going to other countries, seeking other religious practices, looking for something deeper than they were receiving in Christianity at that time. And so what they came up with was they studied several of the mystics, the writing of the mystics. They studied the Bible, particularly this verse. When you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. They also studied the book called The Cloud of Unknowing. I think you may have studied that, some of you here. And that became the primary source for designing centering prayer as a practice for modern day lay people. The mystics whose writing was particularly important to centering prayer were Francis de Sales, and Therese of Avila, Therese of Lisieux, and John Cassian, and also Thomas Merton. And so if we look at why is it called centering prayer, centering prayer, the name was actually taken from a saying by Thomas Merton, where he said, contemplative prayer is prayer that is centered entirely on the presence of God. So, Keating, Miniger, and Thomas Keating, William Miniger, and Basil Pennington were the three monks who were at St. Joseph's. You probably have heard of them. They've all written and spoken prolifically. Thomas Keating began teaching along with William Miniger and Basil Pennington a lot of people in the 70s. And by early 1980s, people were saying, we're practicing this, but we want a retreat. We want to have a centering prayer retreat. So in 1983, Thomas led the first intensive retreat at San Cristobal, New Mexico, at the Lama Foundation. And there was such a big response to that that afterwards he said, I believe we need to have some sort of organization to support all of these people who are practicing centering prayer. And that was when Contemplative Outreach was formed. So Contemplative Outreach is currently an international organization run about 99% by volunteers. It is in 90 chapters across the world. And currently, those chapters are all supported by the big organization, and then the smaller chapters support each other in providing centering prayer opportunities for people. So our chapter here in Austin is the Heart of Texas Contemplative Outreach, and we have 20 active prayer groups in the Austin area. We also have a lot of members who are participants in online groups all over the world. And so it's pretty exciting. The first weekend in March each year, United in Prayer Day is held. And United in Prayer Day is a 24-hour centering prayer practice with centering prayer at the top of each hour, starting at 8 o'clock in the evening, going till 8 o'clock the next evening. And people from all over the world participate. It's a very exciting opportunity to see how this prayer practice is encircling our world. And it is very affirming for me. So they do, in each hour, they do about 20 to 30 minutes of centering prayer, followed by Lectio Divina or Visio Divina, or reading, or sometimes a homily. And it's just a beautiful experience. And it's not all in English, of course, because some of the people participating are in countries where English is not commonly spoken. So you get to just enjoy that period. My favorite from the last one was the Icelandic group. They read to us in English, then they read to us in Icelandic. It was so beautiful. It was a really beautiful experience. So I hope you'll consider that. So what is the purpose of centering prayer? Well, it is a completely receptive method of prayer. Its purpose is to open us to an experience of God's presence beyond talking to God or thinking about God, more like going from conversation to communion with God. So it's a very different kind of experience from the traditional prayer practices that you may have, or it may be similar to a meditation practice that you may have. What we have found is it should not replace other kinds of prayer. It instead enhances those other kinds of prayer. And many times people will do centering prayer and follow that with their intercessory prayers, because they feel more open to doing their intercessory prayer afterward. I'm going to end my little part of the presentation with a reading from Open Mind, Open Heart. This is the book that Thomas Keating wrote about centering prayer. And then Gay will be talking to you about the practice itself. This is from chapter 3. Thomas says, "The chief thing that separates us from God is the thought that we are separated from him. If we get rid of that thought, our troubles will be greatly reduced. We fail to believe that we are always with God and that God is part of every reality. The present moment, every object we see, our inmost being, are all rooted in him. But we hesitate to believe this until personal experience gives us the confidence to believe in it. This involves the gradual development of intimacy with God. God constantly speaks to us through other people and external events, as well as from within. The interior experience of God's presence activates our capacity to perceive God in everything else, in people, events, and nature. Okay, Gay, it's your turn.
Thank you, Christy. Christy, would you be willing to advance the slides for me since you're now a pro?
As you can see, I'm not doing so good here.
Okay.
There we go.
So my name is Gay Bullard, and nice to see you all here today. So I'm going to be talking about the actual method of centering prayer. What that means is not just how to do it, but why we do it. All right, so the method of centering prayer is also called commonly the prayer of consent, because our consent is actually the heart of it. It's at the heart of centering prayer. Centering prayer is both a relationship with God and a discipline to foster that relationship. So when I met centering prayer, when it came into my life, my relationship was pretty much stuck in what I learned in Sunday school at 8 years old, which was like God was, you know, somewhere else. Now I am beginning through this practice to understand and have a deeper relationship with God. Not the deepest, I don't think, because it continues to grow and become deeper through the practice of this prayer. So I'm sure that you have a relationship with God. And when I think about the word relationship, I think about a relationship that I have with another person, for example, for my late husband, for my children, for my grandchildren. So relationship is always requires more than just me. It requires that other. And by other, I don't mean that something is separate from me. So as my relationship with God grows deeper and deeper and ever deeper, I feel that God is also in this relationship. It's not just me longing for God, it's God longing for me too. And that is, for me, why I do it. So when it says a discipline, that's my part. That is why I sit down twice a day for 20 minutes and have a relationship with my God. All right, Christy, let's do the next one. Here we have the four guidelines. These are the four guidelines. This is the how-to. So I'm going to read these guidelines just as you see them, and then we'll take each one separately and talk about it and unpack it a little bit more. Choose a sacred word as the symbol of your intention to consent to God's presence and action within. Number two, sitting comfortably and with eyes closed, settle briefly and silently introduce the sacred word as the symbol of your consent to God's presence and action within. Number three, when engaged with your thoughts, return ever so gently to the sacred word. And number four, at the end of the prayer period, remain in silence and with eyes closed. It says for a couple of minutes, but as you know, a couple of minutes is a very long, long time sometimes. I'd like to change that wording to a few moments. So we'll talk about that. All right, so let's look at the guideline one now. choose a sacred word as the symbol of your intention to consent to God's presence and God's action within. So when it says this sacred word, by the way, we'll talk a little bit more in just a minute about that. But this, we refer to this word that you will be choosing to use during the practice. We refer to it as sacred not because of its inherent meaning. Like, for instance, if I chose the word Jesus as my word, Jesus to me bears a particular meaning. But this is not the inherent meaning of the word you choose. This word becomes a symbol. It's a symbol to represent your intention to consent to God's action and God's presence within you, God's action and presence. So let me see here. So as I said earlier, this prayer is a habitual and continual consenting to God's presence, which is God's life within us. God lives us, breathes us. God is all around us. We're in God. So when I say that I'm consenting to that, that bears to me the meaning that I am connecting with God. I'm saying, here I am, God. And then when I say God's action, that is the grace that comes from transformation. Okay. Now let's take a look at this thing called sacred word. Here are...
I think it skipped. Hang on.
Did we skip one?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, there we go. All right. So here are a very few examples of what one can choose as a sacred word. And there are many, many, many more. So Jesus, Abba, mercy, silence, yes, peace. And there, you know, there's not a better word or a worse word. There's not a more sacred word. They are all just simply a symbol of your consent. And by the way, it's recommended that whatever word you happen to choose, make it short, one or two syllables. And also the other recommendation is that once you choose a word like today, as we're going to do in a minute, don't try to change that during the prayer period. That doesn't mean you can't change it, but you know, if you choose a word and let's say you're choosing to actually practice this prayer, you can change it anytime you want to, just not during while you're praying. Okay, now guideline two, sitting comfortably and with eyes closed, settle briefly and silently introduce the sacred word you've chosen as the symbol of your consent to God's presence and action. Sitting comfortably means kind of like you're sitting in this chair right now. So if you're practicing at home, you don't want to be sitting in your recliner. It's really best to have your back fairly straight, but still comfortable. You don't want to have to deal with an uncomfortable body while you're praying. So some people even like to sit in a lotus position on the floor, which is perfectly okay. And we close our eyes. That also becomes a symbol that eyes closed. For me anyway, it sort of brings me to my interior self. So whatever's been going on in my life before I pray, whatever it is, any kind of worry or plan or something that takes me out of myself, if I close my eyes, that seems to allow me to bring my attention inward. So eyes closed, sitting comfortably. And then the other thing that I practice is, like Christy had us begin today before we prayed, I take just a few slow, very deep breaths, and I notice any tension that's in my body and allow myself to just relax. So that's the eyes closed part. And Father Keating has an image that he uses in his teaching of this prayer. He said, when I introduce my sacred word, I imagine that it is a feather that I'm just letting land on some absorbent cotton. It's that gentle when you introduce your sacred word as you pray. And now we come to guideline 3. And this is what happens as we pray. Guideline 3 is what goes on as we begin to pray. When engaged with your thoughts, return ever so gently to your sacred word. So let's say I have begun my prayer now. So I have to remind myself ever so often that thoughts, this little thought factory in my brain, is continually churning out thoughts. It never stops, actually. So you probably don't notice that much as you're just going about your everyday life, whatever it is you're doing. Those thoughts are just coming. They kind of fade into the background as I'm working, washing the dishes, going to the grocery store. But when I sit, close my eyes, and get silent, it's like somebody turns up the volume. And the thoughts just are incessant. So don't be discouraged about that, because we're told that the thoughts are not just inevitable, but they're also integral to this prayer. Please remember that. They're integral to the prayer. So remember that this is the prayer of consent. And our purpose for this prayer is to deepen our relationship with God. How do we do that? We sit, we say our sacred word, the thoughts begin. Now, we have a choice here. We can drop it, the thoughts, and say our sacred word again. Or sometimes we get caught in a thought. I don't know if you've experienced that or not. A plan, for instance. What am I going to fix for dinner tonight? You know, oh my gosh, I've got company coming. I've got to go to HEB. What is it I'm supposed to buy? And before long, you're just caught up in that river and down you go, downstream. And then something in you will say, oh, wait a minute, I'm here for centering prayer. That's when I choose to drop the thought, quietly say my sacred word, and begin again. And if you're very lucky, you may get like 3 seconds of silence. So, and then you simply do it again, because every time you speak your sacred word, you are saying, I consent to God's presence and action in my life. You see how that works? So, you know, usually when people begin this prayer, they'll say, I can't do this prayer. I cannot get my mind to stay still at just thought after thought after thought. Good. Father Keating says, that's like 100 opportunities to consent to God's presence and action. So they're inevitable. And thoughts are integral and they're normal. So if you choose to practice this, like try it out at home, if this really appeals to you and you maybe want to take up a practice, that is something really, really important to remember. That Cynthia Bergeau, I don't know if you're familiar with her, she is a wonderful author that really speaks to my heart. She has a great book on centering prayer called The Heart of Centering Prayer, in which she says, she's standing on a stage and she says, okay, she's got her keys in her hand. And she says, I'm praying. It's quiet. I have a thought. I get caught up or engaged with that thought. Oops, I realized. And I just drop it, and she drops the keys on the floor. So it's that simple. It's a choice, and it's that simple. And as you drop those keys or drop that thought, You simply lay that word down, just like a feather on a piece of cotton. All right. Now, we have sat for, let's say, 20 minutes, or I don't know how much time we'll have to do today to practice this, but at the end of the prayer period, we remain in silence with our eyes closed for a few moments. So what's going to happen today is we practice. Christy will ring a chime. I will say a very short prayer, and then we'll begin a specified time of, let's say it's 10 minutes of prayer together. You will close your eyes. You'll get quiet. You'll breathe a couple of times. You will quietly introduce your word. And then all those things are going to happen that I just described. And at the end of that period of time, she will be the timekeeper and she will ring the bell again. And when you hear that bell the second time, I will start saying the Lord's Prayer very slowly. You will remain in silence as I say it. And then when I'm finished, then you can open your eyes and return to this environment with your friends sitting in the chair in this room. Now, let's say you're at home and you're alone. Who's going to keep the time? Well, there's a handy dandy little app that you can get on your phone. And Christy.
I'm being your Vanna White.
Okay. Anyway, you can set however long you want it. It could be 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever. And it keeps time for you. And you can even choose between like 10 different chime sounds. It's very, very handy. Okay. So I tell you what, let's do now. Why don't you, before you stand up, I'm going to just have you take a standing break just to relax your body and stretch a minute. Then we're going to have, let's say, first we're going to choose our sacred word together. And then we'll have about 10 minutes of centering prayer practice together. Then after that, I think we'll have a very few minutes for any questions. All right, so let's stand up. Just stretch your body. And when you're ready, you can sit back down. Okay, back to the sacred word. I am going to read a short list. I think there's probably about 10 possible words here. That doesn't mean you have to choose one of them. Come up with your own if you like. And after you have chosen this word, we'll do this with our eyes closed. And when everyone's eyes are open again, I'll know that you are ready to start the prayer. So let's close our eyes. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit for help here. Loving Spirit of God, we open our hearts to you as we choose our sacred word. Remember, there's not one that's better or more sacred. And here are some examples. God, Jesus, Abba, Father, Mother, Mary, Amen, Love, Peace, Mercy, Listen, Silence, Stillness, Let Go, Faith, Trust, Yes. So when you're ready, if you'll open your eyes. Abba, we thank you for this opportunity to deepen our relationship with you, consent to your presence and your action in our lives. So we now begin 10 minutes of centering prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. So now if you will open your eyes, we don't have a lot of time left. I forgot something very important to say. I want to insert it now before we end. If you are familiar with the term mantra, which is a term associated with Eastern types of meditation, the sacred word is not a mantra. A mantra is something that is repeated continually during the prayer time. The sacred word is not a mantra. The sacred word is only used when you realize that you are engaged with your thoughts. So I should have put that in when I was talking about the sacred word. So Christy and I, we have, I think, 4 minutes. Does anyone have a question, not particularly about the practice that you just did, but in about centering prayer in general, that we could answer for you? Yes.
You compare it with meditation.
Okay. I'm hard of hearing. Speak up.
Compare it with meditation.
Just meditation in general. Where'd you go, Christy?
I'm over here.
Okay. I would say meditation in general encompasses a lot of different methods, and centering prayer is one of them. It is based particularly and specifically for the Christian faith. Does that answer? Sort of. Okay. Anyone else?
Right here.
But they're very similar in that I've been doing transcendental meditation since the 1970s, and the steps are similar, except for two minor things, which would not negate what you're doing at all. One is, it's helpful if your sacred word is to close your eyes blocks what you're seeing in your visual field. To say your sacred word blocks your thinking. What blocks your hearing is that you listen to your breath. You listen to your breath if you do it. Mm-hmm. And it's helpful when you breathe in and breathe out to have two syllables to keep it synchronized, and then you're blocking everything. So instead of, I picked a sacred word of grace, but when I got started, I realized I had to say God's grace, God's grace, and then you block everything out. The steps are exactly the same.
My understanding, and I've never practiced transcendental meditation, but I understand that it does use a mantra, right, that is continually, and you're using your breath with,
I'm using your sacred word as my mantra.
I see. Okay. Prior to today, though, you were using
a mantra,
the breath,
yes.
Right? Yes. Yes. Well, I think the hardest distinction that people get hung up on is the difference between using a mantra, which is continual as the breath, or the sacred word, which actually allows the thoughts to arise. And then we choose to drop the thoughts. And I don't know, it's a very small distinction. And, you know, there are all of these different methods, whichever suits you. We are simply here to try to tell you what centering prayer is about, not try to sell you on anything or change your practice.
It's very helpful.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions before we wrap up? All right. Yes.
Comment as a person who's been practicing centering prayer for a long time as well. Thoughts, but also Keating talks about sensations. You know?
Yes.
So also this whole body thing.
Right.
So like
yes.
Bodily sensations can also be part of that distracting thing that you can latch on to. So.
Yes, thank you, because that's another little thing I left out is when we say thoughts. This is like an umbrella term that can, you know, it encompasses an itch on your nose or a memory or so when we say, you know, engage with your thoughts and also anything you might hear in the room, you know, like or outside the room, all of those things are encompassed in the word thought, engaged with your thoughts.
And just remembering that today, this was just a very brief overview. If you really wanted to start a centering prayer practice, you might want to attend an introduction to centering prayer class. They're usually about half a day long with a follow-up once a week for about 90 minutes to help you get into that rhythm of the practice with other people. And we can give you information about that if you're interested. We'd like to finish today with a reading from Psalm 106 from Nan Merrill. So let's take a moment as we listen. Quiet us, O silent speaker, that out of still spaces we may hear your word. And as we ponder the immensity of your gift to us of life, awe and wonder fill our hearts. For from galaxies and the furthest stars to the smallest atom in our heart, you are the flame of love. Thank you so much, our loving Creator, for this time together. We ask your blessing on all those present. And on all those we encounter today in our lives. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.